Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. Now, I've just been organising myself to make this program and caught the news of the Prime Minister's decision to resign today, which is, of course, in advance of you hearing the program. So there will be a lot of reaction to this over the next few days, and you'll no doubt be very up to speed with the news by the time you hear this. It is a surprise, and I think it's a tribute to her leadership capacity that she recognised that she doesn't have the extra in the tank to fulfil that role. And it is a demanding role. So I applaud her decision, not on political grounds, but on personal grounds, because I think it takes a great deal of courage often to step away when it's in the best interest of everyone, including yourself. Now, at this point in time, I am doing a chat show because I am finding it's still holiday time. It's not so easy to find people to interview, and the lack of an interview set up within a studio situation is still hampering the way we make this program. So today I'm in Heron Park in Avondale. It's a lovely day and it's a beautiful view, and it's fairly peaceful and quiet. But if you hear a lawnmower or you hear a motorbike in the background, you'll understand why. Some things you don't have control of. But today's session, I would like to focus on the upcoming heritage issues for Auckland. I've been talking about this before, but I interviewed Trish Deans, who's the current head of the Civic Trust, about some of these issues, and she will be able to come on the program in a few weeks' time. And I also plan to interview Margot McRae and John Burns from the Character Coalition, either one of them or both, because I think that there is a wealth of knowledge and understanding about these issues, and the council is still midway in the process of changing the unitary plan. And so we need to know how that process is working out and what indeed the process is, because it's not actually easy to understand exactly how it goes. You have to have submitted in round one and round two in order to be in on the submission process for round three, and so it goes on. So having a knowledgeable person or two in the background like the ones I've outlined, it's going to help all of us who've got an interest but don't have that detailed knowledge, and help us actually see the wood for the trees and understand, you know, what actions we could take to help support retaining heritage in our areas. Because I think at the moment the developers have the upper hand with the kind of law change that we're being faced with. Now, I also want to touch base with you on continuation of the idea of relationship building, because I talked about the partnering book last week, and there is another book that I'm in the process of reviewing for the Greytown newsletter, which is called What Do You Say? And in reading that book, I realised that a great deal of modern psychology is being researched, and more developments have occurred in the last 10 years, and there's more detailed knowledge about how best to intervene to build resilience in our children. Because our children are going through different kinds of issues, current generation growing up, 5 to 12, and even 12 to 19. These two generations really are, they're facing different issues, and the children are showing unprecedented levels of anxiety and some quite high levels of depression. So 20 years ago, about 5% of children might show signs of depression at some point during their childhood. But that figure is much higher now. And some surveys say it's a third of children showing anxiety and or anxiety depression. Is, you know, part and parcel of their everyday lives. And that's a real change in New Zealand society. And so I'd quite like to talk about this book because I think it gives a very intelligent steer on, first of all, what research is out there that shows what makes a difference, what ways you can steer conversations, how you can actually get a conversation going and build trust with your children or your grandchildren, and how you can actually be a rock for them, how you can actually provide stability, because it seems the peer group has such a big influence. The screen impact of their constantly being on devices seems to have such a big impact, and so on. And so it's easy to feel dwarfed with all that and think, how can you make a difference? You can't really get an inroad into anything because they're already captured, so to speak. So I'd like to address those things because I think that people give up. People often shrug their shoulders and think, there's nothing I can do. They're captured, they're already engaged elsewhere, and all I can do is watch beside them and feel helpless. And that's what I want to change. I want to actually say, no, that might be your initial response, but it's not necessary to respond that way. There's plenty of evidence that you, in fact, are the most important people in your lives. There is some quite solid research done with teens and young adults who have attempted suicide and been unsuccessful. And later, when they've been more stable, have been interviewed, and they have said quite clearly that it was the strength of their grandparents. It's their grandparents that they turn to. Their grandparents are constant. Helping them face things that they wouldn't otherwise want to face. We are able to talk with them, and even if they can't talk much, they can, there's things, activities they do together. They're in their lives, and that's what really counts. But I want you to really consider that. And if you see yourself as being that rock, if you see yourself as able to project strength to them, resilience, able to show compassion and give them a second chance when they mess up, but make them accountable in other ways. So help them set goals and look forward to something. Because often parents can interview the round of activities, maybe just a very exhausted and overprayed and just not picking up on things or looking far enough ahead and goal setting. So you are that wise, strategic kind of person who can find out what will be really valuable for each particular individual. I know I had an aunt who was a school teacher. She was an infant mistress, they called them in those days. And she bought me a very significant book because she sized up that I was a bridge builder. I was someone who had a very deep interest in people from other cultures. So she found an appropriate book, and I must have been about 9 at the time. And it was like a seminal Bible to me because it was a book about children from other countries and how they did things differently, how they went to sleep. And some had different sorts of beds, some had beds in cupboards, and different food and more different clothes and quite different language and so on. And so all of this was quite fascinating. And the book was just the right level for me for that age. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I used to up and take it to bed and read and reread sections of it. It was something that I treasured greatly. And while I didn't have grandparents growing up, because one died when I was two and I hardly knew them, and my grandfather passed on when I was about 4 and a half. So again, those having them missing out of my life, it meant there were other people who became kind of substitute grandparents. And that's the thing, you may be a substitute grandparent for someone else's child. You may be an aunt who has a particular relationship with your brother's children or your sister's children. So whatever situation you find yourself in, if you can mentor children, if you can be there for them as a strength and a rock, then it behoves you to wise up in terms of what are the skills that are needed and how can you do better at what you do. People often thought that children should be seen and not heard. People often thought that if you waited, the child would come to you. But these days, I think, with the anxiety levels of children around us, they're very hesitant to take the risk of opening up to somebody. They're hesitant to reach out. And even when they really desperately need someone to listen, I don't think they're the ones that are going to start the conversation. So if we hang back and we just wait for them to take the initiative, it might happen on occasion. If you sit around long enough, you're in your orbit. They notice you and they come over and they say, what do you think about such and such? Or what did you used to do in your day? Or those sorts of conversations can get going. But by and large, if somebody's really overwhelmed and really stressed and very anxious, they are unlikely to start the conversation. So this book, What Do You Say?, actually talks about some of the things that are really, really good. I mean, there's a lot of ways in which you find activities that might please a child, whether it's chess or whether it's playing quoits or whether it's bird watching or archery or things that are a little bit out scale. They're just a little bit off the usual basic list. And by using your imagination and thinking about what you know about this child, you might come up with some really interesting options, and then you can put those options to the child and say, well, I was thinking the other day, it's possibly time to look at having something new going on in your life. And here are some things I came up with that could be interesting to try and explore. What do you think of them? And just go through the list with them. That's one way. And another way might be to look at something like Our Auckland. And the large print version is in the library. It's easy to pick up. And it's got some background information about parks, reserves, bushwalks, activities around planting trees and around care of nature, places to picnic, all sorts of information so that you could perhaps suggest that they might like to look online and Google some places they'd like to visit that they've never been before. And they can come up with maybe three, and during the year, depending on how they're going with their goals for schoolwork and for sport and so on, or how they're going with their chores, maybe they can earn going on without them. Maybe it doesn't have to be something where they have to get absolute top marks or absolute achievement results, because I think that could be daunting. But just if they're nodding in the right direction, they can incentivise and just move a little bit further forward, and that way they feel they weren't the outcome and it's something we can enjoy together and celebrate their achievement, but in a low-key way. So, yeah. Well, those are my suggestions coming from reading this book, and a lot of people don't have time to delve into reading books, and this is quite niche actually, but I did think it had some really good grasp of the research, and it was very up to date and very much around the situations that both parents and grandparents face today and the kinds of issues presented by their children. I believe it was to have quick tips and answers to children on the run, but they don't necessarily build trust or compassionate empathy. And the importance of building this compassionate empathy, I'm not actually trying to shut them down or evaluate what they're saying or what they're putting forward straight away, but actually building the relationship and building the trust and building the empathy by saying, is that how it is? Are you really feeling that it's overwhelming? What is it that in particular that gets you stressed out up to the max? Try to explore a little bit of your territory without doing it in a threatening way. So, giving the feedback is actually the question mark in your voice. So, you're actually checking in with them in a soft way and inviting them to tell you more. You can say, oh, would you like to tell me more about that? I'm interested. And this is the way that we can actually entice them into further conversation. I think you'll find that you'll be pleasantly surprised. That kind of active listening, where you're picking up on what they're saying, where you're actually letting them know that you're tuning in. But without actually placing any criticism, any positive or negative feedback, it's more neutral, I'm interested, I want to hear more. It's the soft stuff that takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of pausing on the usual kind of responses that you would have. So anyone can do this. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to have studied communication to a high degree. You don't even have to read the book, actually. It's a matter of just thinking, it's a little bit like how you talk to your dog sometimes. You know, your dog doesn't always reply, apart from wearing its tail. Quite often you find yourself just having that kind of question mark in your voice. You're feeling a bit hot today, or you're just a bit tall, aren't you? Or something like that. How people talk to their dogs. And I was just thinking, it's possible to talk to children in a similar way without being patronising, but actually encouraging it, being empathic. People are very empathic with their animals quite naturally, so it's not a big step to translating that into how you talk to children. So I'd like you to really consider which children you will focus on and how you practice and really give them a go. Change that can be brought about. Change that's effective in relationships that comes from small sets week. And it's the small things that you do on a day-to-day basis that really bring the biggest results. So do give it a go. And now I think it's time for a music break. So I've chosen You Are My Sunshine for today. A bit soulful and I think appropriate for a few people who moved on and passed away in the last 2 weeks, I guess. And anyway, I have a number of funerals to attend, and so for me this is quite personal, but enjoy the music and we'll be back to do the short break.
Sunshine on the water.
So we're back again together, and this time I'm just wanting to focus on New Year's resolutions, the bane of our lives at the start of the year. People often don't bother with them at all because they say, oh, they're a waste of time, they don't work. But definitely goal setting does work, and there's a history of research behind goal setting which gives us a great deal of confidence to be able to think about actually doing it, because it does bear results. And one of the ways that I encourage people to do is to use a model that's holistic, like the Mason Jewels model, the four sides of the heart, and literally like a half or a box divided into four. And one box is for physical, one box for mental, one box for emotional, and the other box for spiritual. Now, obviously, people pick on the physical box because that's just pretty straightforward. But for many people, they don't set realistic goals, or they focus solely on diet or solely on exercise. And usually to get a change in health statistics, if you want to get your blood pressure down, or you want to make sure you've got a better, you're in better shape in the next 5 years, you actually want to proactively invest in your own well-being. You do need something that's a bit more focused on just focusing on exercise or just focusing on diet. So with the physical, it really does pay to have data collection before and after. Just get a basic test, a basic blood test for your GP, which looks at all your vital statistics, the cholesterol, blood pressure, or your kidney function, your liver function, etc. Because we should do that once a year anyway. And if you're on medication, it probably pays to do it 3 times a year. And then you can actually evaluate what's happening and make changes. Because things change and people change. And I've recently been able to improve my blood pressure significantly. My cholesterol is now normal, and I actually have gone about this systematically through a combination of diet, exercise, medication, yes, but I'm actually reducing that. And I'm able to reduce it because of the diet and exercise improvement. So without data, without recording, without collecting that data, without my good relationship with my GP, I don't think any of that would have happened. So that's an example in the physical box, but in mental people, so that you have that capacity to respond empathically to people that you are having conversations with. So when you go to coffee or whatever, instead of being able to talk about yourself, put yourself on the back burner for a minute or two and practice actually listening at a deeper level to what people are saying, instead of rehearsing what you're going to say next. Think about how you can listen and get them to open up a little bit more. And you don't have to evaluate what they're saying. We can just encourage them.
We have to wrap up.
So on that note, just this is the end of the program, and I welcome you coming on board next week, and I look forward to having you with us again. Thanks for listening.
Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.